previously.tvpodcastnetwork.
All I remember is you asking me to leave.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210. Oh, today's episode is Season 8, Episode 19, Crimes and Misdemeanors. And now here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hi.
And yet he persisted. Hello.
Yeah, he never leaves anywhere anyone asks him to leave. That's what his whole deal is.
No, but he's so small that maybe he's hoping they don't notice.
That's a very good point. Before we begin, let us remind you that you can buy an ad on this podcast. They are $50 for a personal message, $100 for a commercial message. You can supply us copy that we will read. You can give us an outline that we will write something special for you. And you can find all the information about this at previously.tv/ads. And now our B plot. David and Donna are soulmates. Sorry, Val. At the apartment, Donna is acting embarrassed of showing Noah old photos of herself, which are clearly the real little Tori. And man, she really was cute before she ruined her everything.
Yeah, she was. And unfortunately, they cut like that photo is in the frame along with one of many horrifying haunted Cleaverns.
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, you can see this in the visual aid. I regret to tell you. And her outfit and her Cleavern are demented. Like, she's all in orange, including an orange headband. And then her skin is also orange. Like, it's so much jerky. Anyway, then her dad shows up to tell her that her grandma's had an aneurysm and he doesn't know what her odds are. And Donna is very sad. Elsewhere, David is sick of living out of a duffel bag in Val's room when Steve comes in and suggests that he sublet Carly's old place, which still even has all her furniture in it, which, A, why would David need a two-bedroom house, is my first question. Question number two is, what is his source of income at this moment? Because, not clear.
Yeah, that second thing, I have no idea. The first thing, obviously, Dara, if he's not going to live in the two-bedroom, that is, his average pair of jeans, he will need extra room in which to store them.
Oh, I thought at the beginning of that sentence you were going to say, well, it's so he can set up a home studio, but your actual answer is so much better. And true. Val gets pissed at Steve about giving David an alternative to shacking up with her, and then pissed at David for wanting to move in there. So then, later, Noah is trying to extricate himself from club obligations in light of Donna's grandma's health crisis. When Val shows up trying to mooch her job back, clip two.
Come on, Noah. I promise from now on I'll be completely honest.
Scale it down a notch to the realm of possible, okay?
Sarah?
The realm of possible. Dave, could we just hear that clip one more time?
Come on, Noah. I promise from now on I'll be completely honest.
Scale it down a notch to the realm of possible, okay?
I mean, I have so many questions, and they're all just as stupid as the pronunciation, so I'll skip it.
I feel like we have another clip from an earlier episode, if one of the listeners can remind us, where Vincent Young mispronounced some other word, too. Now I can't pull it. If someone remembers, please hit us up on social media or in the forums.
No, wasn't it Kierkegaard?
No, it was like a word. It wasn't a name. I'm pretty sure.
Because I think he got Kierkegaard, but then
that's the thing. Yeah, yeah. Realm? I think he did too.
Everyone knows it's pronounced realm. Come on.
Yeah, I hesitate to make fun of people for pronouncing words wrong because it just means like they probably learned them from reading, which is fine. Like if you've never heard a word said, you wouldn't know how. This is how I thought I got into high school thinking A-W-R-Y is Ari.
Which but it realm, should be, because
it should, but
same.
Realm is a word that you should know when you're in your 20s or 30s, which he probably was at this point. Jesus, dude.
Yeah. And never mind that he doesn't know it. Like, I don't even blame him. It's like, nobody went back and asked for another take.
Seriously.
Or they didn't rehearse and hear him say realm like 20 times. Like, how much did they hate the boss's daughter's trick that they're like, let him say Realm. Fuck him. Oh my God. I mean, possible.
Or they're just lazy. Probably. I mean, yeah. Or both. I suppose there's no reason it couldn't be both. Anyway, he caves with Val and caves further when she announces that Jasper's Law is playing its new song at the club that night for an A&R rep. So then Donna brings Noah to meet her grandmother, and after some pleasantries, shit gets awkward when Grandma asks how Donna's young man is and says how much David loves Donna, and Noah hilariously is like, peace, and sort of just like recedes into the background. You can see this in a GIF that I made. Where he like melts away, like, okay, I'm not needed here. But Donna reminds her grandmother.
Well, shouldn't have been there anyway. Like, I considered asking for the clip where Donna simpers that she wants her grandma to meet Noah. I'm like, she has an aneurysm. So first of all, like, if grandma wants to meet Noah, she has an aneurysm. Clearly not thinking clearly. If grandma thinks you and David are soulmates, again, aneurysm. Although we've seen evidence of this before. And we'll see more, boo. But the other thing is, like, it's, I mean, you're not married. He doesn't have to be there.
Yeah.
No.
They haven't even been dating that long.
Yeah.
You know, like, anyway, Donna reminds her grandma.
Once you're doing it, you have to go to hospital rooms where you're not actually wanted. Cool.
Well, once you're doing it with Donna. Anyway, Donna reminds her grandma that she and David broke up, and grandma remembers that Donna was crying when she told her. She wants Donna to be happy and says she will be. She and Don and David are meant for each other, and Noah is like, huff. Val shows up at the beat, I guess, so that we know David is still writing for them. Half-assedly, of course. Clip 3.
So, how's the CD review coming, huh?
Rushed.
Fuck you!
I hate the Beverly beat and everyone involved with it except Janet and Terry so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's idiotic. Anyway, he doesn't have time to argue while he works on his shitty review. And Val doesn't want to argue, and she apologizes for overreacting, and he basically tells her to chill out. In general, she tells him about the A&R rep. He is thrilled until she says she needs to hear her song. He wrote it about her, right? And he's like, oh, and then takes off to go and see Donna's grandma. And at the hospital,
like?
Donna's
Sorry?
Parent.
He also and Noah's put his like, hands to his face.
Yeah, exactly. At the hospital, the Martins bring in David to see Grandma, leaving Donna to be even more awkward with Noah about this whole situation. And in the room, Grandma says she has agreed to surgery and then tells David she wants him to take care of Donna. He doesn't know what to say, but that he'll always care about her. But Grandma's not taking no for an answer in clip 4.
I met her friend, Noah.
Well, they're more than friends.
She's going to need you. Please.
Da-na-na-na, da-na-na. I mean, could the soundtrack calm down just a skosh? That'd be good.
So Noah doesn't know about this conversation, obviously, when, at the club, he tells Val he's not bothered by Grandma's advocacy for David since David was Donna's first love and she's an old lady or whatever. And Donna enters at this point. Noah and Val watch her go straight to David to tell him that Grandma's surgery is scheduled for the next morning. And he tells her it's okay if she doesn't stay for his show under the circumstances, but she wouldn't miss it. So Val goes over to introduce herself to Lola Burns, the A&R rep, who is apparently back to being a talent manager. I don't know. Who cares? This rep isn't big enough name.
Dr. Lola Burns. John Ramos, that was for you.
This rep is a big enough name that Jasper can recognize her on site. And this is also where David confirms what we guessed like 4 episodes ago, which is that this big song is about Donna. With both Donna and Val present, they're going to figure it out. And since the lyrics are all about how seasons change, but we still keep it together, even Noah knows what's up in clip 5.
I guess you wrote this for you, huh?
It's an old song.
And it's being sung with feeling. Try not to look too moved, okay?
How'd you know he wrote it about me?
I don't know. How did your grandma know two of you belong together?
Come on. David's not trying to win me back.
He doesn't have to. That's what fate's all about.
Was that guy doing a Dylan impression?
He's always doing a Dylan impression. That's his whole thing. He's Dylan too. Shitty Dylan.
Electric Woodaloo.
Yeah. It's really great when you're for your relationship when your boyfriend is blaming you for shit your grandmother with a brain injury said to him. Like,
yeah. Over this song, which is like.
Yeah. Is this supposed to be a fuck jam? Because it's terrible.
Oh my God. It's like Fern Bar, elevator, dentist, Muzak, explosion. Horrible. Ugh. And then he's making all these cube poo faces, although he's the least of the cube poo culprits. In this episode, we will get to it.
Yeah. At the hospital the next day, Donna basically tells Kelly that Noah has no history with her grandma and that she's kind of holding it against him. Okay, so you're both idiots. And then also tells Kelly to give Brandon another chance. Shut up, Donna. At this point, Dr. Martin comes out and tells Donna that grandma's not doing well and Donna should probably go in and say goodbye. She does, and it's boring and dumb, and I guess while Donna is remembering taking her to the train station, Grandma dies of boredom, and when Donna comes out, Noah tells Donna that he's there for her, and then immediately leaves. Great writing. It's really, like, guys, if you can't handle these storylines, just don't write them, is my suggestion.
Oh, my God. Oh, so please continue. I'll just be losing my mind over here.
Val helps David move in, even though she still doesn't want him to, though at least now she's being flirty about it. She's reassured about their relationship now that David has written her that beautiful song. And at first, David carefully does not correct her in clip six.
I'm with you 7 nights a week, and it took some song for you to know I cared about you.
Well, no one's ever done anything like that for me before.
Well, I'm going to write you tons of songs, tons of them. But the one that I wrote, it's not about you.
Oh, my God. Oh, I must be some idiot. Right.
That way.
That was for Donna.
Well, I wrote it a long time ago. I mean, I just happened to be humming it, and Jasper heard it.
What? You were just humming it one day? What, like some chant designed to bring Donna back?
Why are you making such a big deal about this? It's just a song.
It wasn't to me.
Okay. Also, Val, be glad that it's not about you so that you're not associated with that dreck.
Yeah.
Also, break up with him and leave the show, please. You deserve so much better than any of this.
The mournful marimba feels differently, Sarah. So Donna finds David at the Walsh house to tell him about Grandma, and they're hugging when Val comes down the stairs and glares at them. And, you know, like... Donna glares back and it's like, I just wish I could project myself into this fictional past and remind them you are fighting over David Silver.
Yeah. I just
not worth it.
No, not worth it at all.
And when Donna is shamed into taking off, Val tells David that Donna has Noah, which is true. Also, Val isn't going to the service, doesn't think David should either, and she tries to push David into choosing between them, which is dumb of her. Clip seven.
Is she more important to you than I am?
Val, you guys are two totally different people in my life.
It's a simple equation. Who has a higher value? Her? Or me?
You want to turn this into a stupid little math problem? Fine. I've loved her longer than I've known you. We grew up together, we lived together, and I'm going to be there for her tomorrow, whether you like it or not.
It's not that Val doesn't have cause to be jealous of Donna, but, like, it's a funeral. Like, no one is going there to hook up.
So you'd think, but I called for a couple clips in a later storyline that suggests that everyone in the show thinks it's the equivalent of, like, a formal.
Well, that's true. I forgot about that.
And they're certainly showing enough fucking cleavage at a fucking funeral, Donna. Oh,
yeah,
my God.
Are. So at dawn is after the service. Everyone is getting ready to leave when Noah takes David aside and suggests that David stay over so that he and Donna can remember the good times with Grandma, a person David, as we will recall, spent part of three different days with. So, yeah, rich memories he's got. But when Noah's gone, David says that Grandma gave him something to give her, and it's the fucking locket with that stupid photo of Tori Spelling and Brian Austin Green as Donna's World War II era grandparents, which I hate. Donna cries badly. David hugs her, also badly. And then they kiss until Donna stops it and says they can't do this. David says that Grandma made him promise to take care of her, and Donna says he can, but I guess not with his tongue. She doesn't say that, but I'm extrapolating.
Yeah, I was thinking it, and then it ends with a died.
It ends with a girl-on-guy forehead kiss, which you almost never see. And then David, I guess, decides not to stay over because next we see him showing back up at Carly's old place, where Val is waiting to tell him that the record label offered them a contract. She also got him a gift, a cactus. Donna shows up in the boat to thank Noah for giving her time with David. She like hangs back with her arms around this pole.
Oh my god, I cut this shot for the visual aids too. So glad you cut that, because I was like, what is this? She's like, the, you know, we broke mom and dad's lamp. Like,
totally. She's totally little girling this moment.
Try to be a little more obvious, you simpleton. Ugh.
Yeah. So she warns him that she might cry all night and get frustrated that he didn't know her grandma, which is a perfectly idiotic thing for this perfect idiot to say, but Noah wants her to tell him all about her. Blah.
Yeah, around a mouthful of his dick.
Mm-hmm. On to our A-plot. Brandon learns about life from an ex-con and love from Steve, sort of, at the clinic at night. Kelly tells a guy in reception that the doctor will be right out. He asks if she's a nurse, I guess because her boundary trampling might lead to a lot of viewers to the same question. And she explains the various tasks she is officially assigned to do. And then Brandon shows up to ask her for dinner, which she declines. And given that he's ambushing her at work and has no reason to believe that she would accept, he graciously accepts her answer, JK clip 8.
You can't take an hour out of your week to see what it would be like to spend time together?
It would just leave us both feeling worse than we already do, okay? So why don't you go?
The door's over here. Thanks. What'd you do, hire a bodyguard?
It's okay. He was leaving.
Kelly? Perfect timing. Door was here, you said.
The waveform of this clip when I come out, like at the last door was here, you said, is like so much bigger than everything else. He's the worst.
He just he only has like, he's a binary setting, mm-hmm. on or off. Mm-hmm. Also, you are stalking her. Go away.
Yeah. Like, you want to come for dinner? No. Okay, I'll try again another time. Like, don't even do that. But like, then try to argue with her about her answer. Like, no, you fuck off. How many times did you have to tell you?
We'll find out. Yay.
Exactly. Kelly introduces Jeff to the patient, Andrew Turner, but Dr. Jeff already knows him. And Andrew says his back is acting up, so of course I assume he's drug seeking because I have seen ER.
Yep, same and same.
But after Andrew checks that Kelly's okay, she says Brandon's an old friend and a good guy, fact check, false. And we learn through exposition that Andrew is an ex-con who was incarcerated in a maximum security prison when he was 17 and was injured by another inmate while he was serving time. Clip 9.
There's something so sweet about him.
Yeah, isn't there? I never think you could murder a man.
Okay, just FYI, the ex-con in question is played by Law and Order franchise stalwart and star of CBS School Break special of the 80s, What If I'm Gay, co-star Gabriel Carteris. His name is Richard Joseph Paul, and as you'll see in the visual aids, like, he's actually pretty good in this episode of 90210, given
he's
the
good.
Garbage time writing
yep.
that he gets, aurally it won't sound like it's bad, but like visually, you'll see it in the visual aids, like just these Muppety, I'm trying to pass a hedgehog through my urethra,
yeah.
Which is what I said about his acting in What If I'm Gay, which I wrote up in a showdown, versus The Truth About Alex. And you can find that in the show notes for this episode. And I hope you'll check it out, because many, many different ways to say trying to get a spiky object out of one's nethers are used to describe his acting. But he's not bad.
He's okay. He's also cute, which helps.
Yes, he's way better hair than the previous. But yeah, you've totally seen him as like, you know, like way far down in the opening credits of various Law and Orders, you will recognize him.
Yeah. Let me, can you repeat this actor's name?
Richard Joseph Paul.
Now let me ask you, Sarah, your dad's rule is you can't trust a man with two first names.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
That is correct that it's his rule.
Okay. What about a man with three first names?
I think that doesn't count. First of all, it seems to only apply to straight men.
Mm.
I mean, at least in my experience. And technically, I'm married to a guy who you could say has two first names, although I wouldn't. Yeah, I think that's dicey. But here's the other thing. SAG rules, like God knows what the actual given name is. It could be Richard Paul Josephson. Who knows? So
right.
I think with actors, it doesn't matter, but he's one of those like three first namers, sort of like Robert John Burke, who he does not look like at all. That I'm always like, oh, it's you know, there's one with a Keith in there. And I'm always like, I don't remember which one this is.
Right. All right. Moving on. Steve has a peach pit meet cute with a woman named Madeline. And she says he blocked in her girlfriend, Libby, the other day. And he goes into flirt mode regarding the coffee he sips and says it's for his partner. Long story short, she thinks Steve and Brandon are partners in both business and love. And it's quite obvious and dumb. And yet, even when Madeline tells Steve to bring his boyfriend to dinner the next night, he doesn't get it.
And I thought he did get it. And then he was trying to like, I don't even know what I thought he was trying to do. It did seem like Steve would be one of those people who was like, well, once Brandon and I show up, we'll ungay them. Like, that's not really how this works.
Right.
But yeah, that whole storyline is so asinine. I just can't.
It still goes on. We're not done with it, I'm sorry to say. But we'll try to keep it to a minimum. So after icing out Brandon for probably weeks at this point, Kelly has no compunction about going to the beat to ask him a favor, which is she wants him to write a story about Andrew to help him get a decent job. Brandon sucks in clip 10.
But he deserves a second chance.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Fuck you.
You're not the same.
Also, since when, what? That's like advertorial. If Kelly wants you to do that, she can fucking pay.
Right.
Or the space, because that's not how journalisming works. What am I saying? Yeah. Why do I bother? Kill me.
Yeah, spoiler alert. This publication is about to have a cover story about how great David is when he, in this episode, is still their like CD critic. So clearly, conflict of interest, not at something that concerns anybody here.
I should just give up on everything in this realm of the show.
Nice. Kelly goes to tell Dr. Jeff that she is social working on behalf of Andrew because her dad is also in prison. And I was frankly shocked that the writers remember that.
Yeah, same.
So then Brandon shows up at Andrew's shitty motel or whatever with questions about the night of the murder. Apparently, he was convicted of killing his mother's abusive boyfriend on Andrew's birthday. This is like an unnecessarily maudlin detail, but.
And then he sat in the cake and had to sit in his cakey pants in the cruiser the whole way there. And then a bee flew up his pants. Like, okay. Fuck.
A bee bit his bottom. Now his bottom's big. Brandon asks where his father was, and Andrew says he wasn't around. Brandon can't believe Andrew's mother testified against Andrew because Brandon is a day old. And Andrew says that she loved the dead guy. Brandon is also an idiot some more in clip 11.
See, the thing is, I can't tell if you feel like what you did was wrong.
Well, it didn't come naturally to me, if that's what you mean. I'm not looking forward to doing it again.
I didn't say you were.
Well, I'm a murderer. That's what I do, right?
I didn't say that.
You didn't have to. You can't make yourself at home. You kept a clear path to the door. I guess you weren't really thirsty either, were you?
Not if you don't have any meth to put in it.
Look, I hated him. He was a monster. But after I shot him, he was lying there. Just some guy that I'd hurt. And now, all I have is this, nothing else. You really think I'd do it again?
Just one more time, please.
Yeah. Also, hey, Brandon, if you're asking follow-up questions, maybe write anything he says down or bring a tape recorder.
Mm-hmm. Mm. But also, like, this speech basically boils down to Sideshow Bob's, you don't need to worry about me. I'm all murdered out.
I know.
Anyway. This convinces Brandon that Andrew is also a good guy, and he invites him for dinner. So then Steve and Brandon are out for lunch with the lesbians, who can't believe Brandon and Steve live together in Brandon's parents' house. And the misapprehensions continue as Libby says some people assume men can't be faithful, and I guess Brandon thinks Steve has already told them about his cheating on Kelly, but Steve tells him to be cool because he still wants to hook up with Madeline, and Brandon leaves. And the lesbians invite Steve and Brandon over for a romantic night at their place, which they think will bring Steve and Brandon back together, and which Steve thinks is an orgy, and it is very dumb. So then Andrew storms into the Beat office to yell at Brandon about his shitty story in clip 12.
You didn't tell me you were going to call his son.
Yeah, I was just researching the story.
What gives you the right?
In a way, he's a victim of the crime as well.
So leave him alone. He doesn't need you stirring this up.
Would you guys give us a minute?
You sure about that?
Yeah. Look, I tried to be fair in telling your side of the story.
Well, you were. It's just you do one terrible thing and it becomes who you are. No one can see you as anything else. Do you have any idea what that's like?
Yeah, believe it or not, I do. Thing is, I don't know how to live with it. Do you?
Well, you just do. Because the people you hurt have to.
I mean, Brandon sucks, but that's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, generally, as it is not fucking selfishly applied to Brandon by Brandon.
Yes.
Pretty good point and decent delivery by Mr. Three-Name McGee.
Yeah.
Over there. It's just, oh my God.
No, there's nothing Brandon. Wrong with what, I mean, the scene is fine as far as it goes. What's annoying is Brandon trying to be like, you and I are the same. We each made one mistake. Like, stop drawing this parallel. It's fucking gross. A person died in Andrew's storyline. Like, you're not the same. Shut up.
And also the braying about, like, if you think about it, he's a victim of this as well. Like, yes, I think after fucking 20 years in Supermax, Andrew might have a handle on who the fucking victims are. You stunad.
Yeah, the other thing
also,
is that, like...
A little hint of Philly accent there from Richard Joseph Paul. Staring this up. Go get me a water ice.
The other thing is, like, I really wish I'm glad in a way that we didn't, but I would have loved to see Brandon, like, try to be sensitive to the child of this dead guy. Because, you know, Brandon does not know how to do that.
No.
As Andrew is leaving an appointment with Dr. Jeff, Kelly fishes for a compliment on Brandon's story, and Andrew's like, it sucks, but nicely.
It sucks!
And he's grateful to Kelly for her intercession, because St. Kelly. And when he leaves, Dr. Jeff agrees with Andrew that Kelly is great. And the subject turns to Donna's grandma's service, since, as we recall, Dr. Martin also works at the clinic now. And this is what Sarah was referring to earlier, clip 13.
Yeah, I'd like to pay my respects. Pick up around 10:30. I'm assuming Brandon's going to be there. Look, Kelly, if you're not ready for any of this, just tell me and I'll back way off.
Back way off? It's a funeral, hoser. What the fuck? Could the whole show stop acting like it's a fucking pickup joint?
Yeah.
So you go into that hot new funeral at 10:30? Like, no. No.
Yeah. Anyway. So Kelly claims that she is ready so they can go together after all. And then at Shay Lesbian, it takes Libby giving Brandon a tour of their place and the one bedroom in which she and Madeline sleep together for Brandon to figure out what is happening. Steve gets it eventually. And when Madeline's like, you two aren't a couple, as Steve is fate crying on Brandon's shoulder, they have to be all gay panicky about it. And it's bad, but it's over. So there's that. And then after the service, the guys end up back at the beach apartment, which is when Brandon just helps himself to the phone in Kelly's bedroom without asking her, even though there is definitely a cordless phone in the living room that he could take down the hall. As the number is ringing, he further helps himself to jewelry on her vanity and starts creepily playing with it. I don't know why that bothered me so much. It's like just so weirdly intimate and invasive. Like
after sitting like on the edge of her vanity and it stuck him in the ass, like, please get your tiny butt cheek off of her furniture. We know where it's been.
Furthermore, he's calling his mother in Hong Kong. Like, definitely make yourself at home with the Trans-Pacific calls. By all means, help yourself.
He said he used a calling card, but here's another thing that I just realized when you said the words Hong and Kong is that it's probably early afternoon in LA at that point.
Yeah.
So it's like
the middle of the night.
30 in the morning. Yeah. It's fucking asshole.
Anyway, Kelly comes back with David and, Dr. Jeff and some food and excuses herself to go change, but stops in the doorway to eavesdrop on Brandon in our last clip.
Yeah, Kelly's okay.
Yeah, I do. I do. I miss her. I know it's okay to be alone. I'm just getting used to it, and that's all. Yeah, I love you too. Bye, Dad.
How are your parents?
They're good. They send their best. I just needed a quiet place. I used a calling card.
I don't mind.
You should.
So we're all here. David, me, and Jeff.
Listen, I appreciate you sending Andrew my way. I learned something from him.
Like what?
How to do the time. How to take responsibility for what happened to us. I was so wrapped up in the fact that I'd lost you, I couldn't see what you had lost. Your home, your relationship.
You?
Al.
I can't take back what I did, Kel. I can apologize forever, but I can't make it right.
It's not like I don't want you back. It's just, how would I know it won't happen again?
You wouldn't. It's just a leap you'd have to take, and I can't take it for you.
I can think of a leap you could take for all of us, travel size. Find that pier Brenda and Dylan went fishing on and get a running fucking start with a pocket full of rocks. I hate you!
I can tell that you are not ready to take responsibility for what happened to us from your use of the passive voice. Because what happened to us is you cheated on her. She didn't do anything. So that's what happened. Your action. Also, when she's like, how would I know it wouldn't happen again? Like, you know, you could just say, I've learned to not cheat on people. That's not hard. You know what I mean? Like, it could turn out to be a lie, I guess, but you still could say it. And it might be true, especially at this moment. You should probably hope that you can keep that promise, like, or else what are you doing?
Yeah. I mean, ugh. And that it took this long for him to figure out that, like, the reason they're not getting back together is not because you're wrapped up in anything. It's because mm-hmm. you got wrapped up in Emma's vag and cheated on your girlfriend.
Yeah.
Like, how did you think this works? You're on a soap opera, bro. Read the fucking manual.
It's just like all these stories that you hear or, you know, like letters to Dear Prudy where they're like, well, my wife and I haven't been in a real marriage for many years. Like, does she know that? Because I bet she doesn't. You know, like it seems like that's how he's tried to recast it in his mind is like, well, we were having problems. So that's why I slept with Emma. Like, the problem was kind of that you slept with Emma. I mean, granted, if everything was great, you probably wouldn't have even tried to or whatever. But still, that's the main issue.
Weren't the elevator fucking like 2 weeks before that? Like, it's one thing if you are having bed death and she's like wearing your giant beefy tees to bed under that extremely disturbing painting.
Right.
Fine. But like, weren't you Bonorama in public like two episodes before that? No, I'm not going back to check.
No.
Don't at me.
You're right. And the other thing that was going on, well, all this Emma stuff was happening, was that she was being sexually harassed at work. So if she wasn't, like, I mean, granted, he's never tried to blame that on anything, but still, like, what happened to us is you happened to us. So don't put it like that and fuck off.
Amen.
Anyway, then Brandon goes to the beat office in time for Andrew to show up again. They got a call from an auto body shop that read Brandon's story and wants to offer him a job. And Andrew says, at least in this case, he won't have to worry about the line on the application that asks if you've ever been convicted of a felony. And this show is so dumb, I can't even be bothered to complain that no one says that line is bullshit, which it still is. And you should look up Ban the Box Movement to find out how you can help organize against it. Whoop, look what happened there. I brought it up. And then Kelly writes a letter about making amends and you think it's to Brandon, but then it's to her dad. Wah, wah. The end.
Yay.
Let's name our MVP. Grandma died. She got out.
Yeah, absolutely.
R.I. Power, Grandma. least valuable player. Brandon. More sinned against than sinning in his own mind.
It's a tie between Val and Donna. Actually, no, it's not. Donna's worse because she has worse boobs and they're fucking fighting over David. Not.
Yeah. No, it's true. We have as a user submitted challenge.
I scored some amazing stones.
At Missy Kerrigan on Twitter challenges us to list five occupations in which Donna might truly excel. She has in parentheses, being positive. We love your spirit.
That's
she would possibly be good as a paid audience member because she always looks really into it at David's terrible shows.
Host of Botched. Woodworker.
tanning booth don't model for instruction guides.
Orange paint chip.
That's five. Oh my gosh. Thank
God. next time on Again With This, Brandon and Kelly get back together, Donna's Cleavern gets a soapy jump on the opioid crisis, and Valerie... well, normally I'd say she gets screwed over with a PSA about Rohypnol, but unlike the writers, I have some fucking respect for her. You should have some fucking respect for the reverse peristaltic prep powers of our visual aids, which you can find for this and every other episode of Again With This on our website at previously.tv. You can follow that website on Twitter at previouslytv, and you can follow this podcast at AWT90210. I am constipated ex-con Sarah D. Bunting, and I am on Twitter at Tomato Nation. My co-host is shit-stirring raisin Tara Ariano. She is on Twitter at Tara Ariano. Our producer is curtain-raising catfight David T. Cole, and he is on Twitter at Glark. Talk to you next time.
Hi. You know what to do after the beeparoni.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network.